Thanks to Bombfell for supporting The Morning Stream. Bombfell is an online personal styling service for men that helps find the right clothes for you. Get $25 off your first purchase at bombfell.com/TMS. That's bombfell.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, I want to be buried sideways.
How much for the Wu-Tang?
Way more than you got. I just want to get a poo.
Eat more ice cream in the morning.
Starbucks gets into the burrito business.
Gross. Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement department throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
Think what?
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Fat slob, let's see if you've got any guts. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ebert.
Hello. The Fletcher clip you played,
yeah,
strangely was perfectly in sync with the music.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was really weird. It was almost like he was singing.
The Morning Stream, the stream part of the singing carried out his word, which is
right.
Pretty weird. I don't usually, yeah. I mean, it's all luck. I don't have any way to time that, but well done, Scott Fletcher, even from the grave. He's not dead. He's fine. And Scott Fletcher's fine. Hey, the car is back.
Car is back. Tristan's car is back. Once again, I made the drive down to the other end of town.
Yeah.
In the morning with traffic and all that business to contend with. We were really lucky as far as traffic. We left thinking that we'd get there at 9 o'clock. So, all right. So, backing up here. He gets a call finally from the car place after leaving them a bunch of messages and texting the neighbor.
How long did it take him, actually, to get back?
From the messages he was leaving? Yeah. 2 days.
Oh, my Lord.
Two days.
Too much hassle to do any different.
Too much hassle to call back. So they finally call him back, say, it'll be ready. The car will be ready at 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Please tell me are they actually Russian, the people calling?
I think they are, yeah. I don't know if they're Russian. They might be Ukrainian. In person saw just the one guy.
I grew up in Ukraine. Now I fix car. Yeah.
Thoroughly expecting him to be in a tracksuit with gold chains.
I love it. All right. So they called. So, yeah, that's good.
So they called, said, car will be ready at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Like, all right, cool. But, you know, I've got a show to do. I've got TMS. So
sure.
I told Tristan, look at that. That's super cool.
It's a frap.
I told Tristan that I would take him there and basically get him there at 9 o'clock. He'd just have to hang out until the car was ready. So 30 minutes, no problem,
okay.
Right? He's got his headphones. He's got his phone. He can be, you know, doing stuff on there. So it was really not such a big deal.
Right.
So we leaving a little extra time because I know there's going to be traffic. Well, no traffic. We flew down there, got down there in no time at all, and actually got there at about 10 until 9, so about 8:50.
Okay.
And his car is like right out front and it looks good. And we get out of the car and we inspect it. We get a little close up look. They fixed the damage. They even fixed another part of his door that had gotten dinged on a whole separate occasion.
Yeah.
Like basically somebody had bumped into it in a parking lot and not left a note.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got that. They dealt with that. And we're like, oh my gosh. All right. This may work. Hmm. We go inside. The guy is there. The guy is actually there. Russian guy sitting behind a desk. I think he's playing with like some sort of, it looked like he was whittling, like he had a pocket knife out, but some chunk of plastic and there were like plastic shavings on his desk. Maybe he was making a shiv. I don't know, but it was like, he looked like he was doing some weird whittling. I think that's Russian 3D printer.
Is that what that was? Extruder is broken. And I do it by
Russian
hand.
Russian 3D printer.
Yeah. I do it by hand. All my plastic.
In Russia. Anyway.
I apologize to any Russians who listen to the show.
Course.
We are having so much fun at your expense. Anyway, go ahead.
So Tristan says, hey, I'm here to pick up the Mitsubishi. And the guy says, yep, here are your keys. Thanks. And it's already paid for, so don't worry about it. Tristan grabs the keys, hops in the car.
Yeah.
He and I drive back again. No traffic coming back. Unbelievably, I guess people are still maybe out and about for Labor Day.
Oh, right. Getting back from the holiday. Sure.
Or I think, you know, traffic must just be going the other way. People are heading to work the opposite direction. Mm. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we get back and I said, so how was the drive back? He's like, it was good. Car's running great. And you know, I was able to open the door and all that. And it smells like banana pudding in there.
What? Wait a minute. Banana pudding. Let me get this in my head right. Yeah. Banana pudding is not a smell you would expect in a car. That's not like a air freshener smell.
Right. And there's a very different scent of banana pudding than there is for just bananas. Like if somebody would eat a banana around you, right, you could tell a banana smell versus a banana pudding smell.
Yeah. Or even like banana or even like pudding by itself. Like vanilla pudding is not the same. Like that's a very specific stink.
Right. So we're thinking, you know, maybe there's a banana pudding vape juice flavor or something that the Russian guy was using when he was moving the car or who knows. Or maybe it's just they just have a can of banana pudding air fresheners.
Yeah, that rare brand we can never find. that scent that is never on the shelf for some reason.
100 people listening to this show that are now Googling or looking at Amazon to see if there's an Amazon or if there's a banana pudding air freshener.
Oh, there very well might be. Well, I guess we ought to look.
I'm looking.
Pudding.
Here we go. Old-fashioned banana pudding fragrance oil.
Okay, so that might be it.
Could be it.
But yeah, why?
There's also banana pudding candles that you can get from Goose Creek Candle Company.
All right, so that's a thing. So apparently people are into this smell. Fragrance buddy banana nutmeg bread pudding type.
Jeez.
That's a hell of a thing. Banana nut bread pudding fragrance oil. So there's some variations with the nut bread part.
Oh, this is hilarious. This Nature's Garden thing is, I thought it was like a bottle of stuff you can, what is there? Okay, it's really weird. So I'm on naturesgardencandles.com and I see on the right side they've got, you know, old-fashioned banana pudding fragrance oil, and it tells you can buy one fluid ounce all the way up to 25 pounds of it for $350.
You know, old-fashioned, the way grandma used to do.
The way grandma used to make banana pudding fragrance oil.
Right.
But then you scroll down, and all of a sudden there's like, there's a recipe for...
Oh, look at that.
Banana pudding.
Yeah, you're right. I'm on the same page. Deborah's banana pudding recipe.
This actually sounds really good.
Yeah. No, I like a big bowl of banana pudding. I'm into it. But
Do you do the Nilla wafers? Do you throw the Nilla wafers in there?
I do. Those are the best use of Nilla wafers.
Yeah, because they disintegrate a little bit. And
they're like gooey in a way, mm-hmm. But there's still a little crunch in the middle. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nilla wafers, that's their best place. That's where they belong. But that's I don't see what's weird about this. Let's see. Oil fragrance oil. Oh, they have some that are just straight banana, apple pie fragrance. Banana cream pie fragrance, apple crisp fragrance. What the hell's the difference? All right, so maybe this is a thing, but I'm voting for vape. I think somebody vaped in the car is what I'm thinking.
I think so too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, is it going to stay? Is it going to be like the BO episode of Seinfeld where it never leaves?
Hell, hey, if it's much rather be BP than BO.
BP, not British Petroleum, everybody. Banana pudding. That's right. Well, anyway, that's good. I'm glad. And the car's fine. It wasn't like duct tape and, you know, cheese holding it together.
No, I'm glad, too, because I wasn't in the mood to do a whole big thing this morning of like, all right, this isn't fixed. This isn't,
sucked.
I can tell where the primer stopped and the paint begins. And
yeah.
But no, they did a great job. So
did it feel like you were starting a mission in GTA 5 when you got there? Did it, you know what I mean? Like... Hey, we take care of cars. I hear a lot about you. Your reputation precedes you, Mr. Ribbit. We take care of cars.
Don't stop for any hookers on the way, but deliver this. I have a package I want you to deliver for Markle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. All right. And for the rest of the game, you can bring your car there and have it fixed when it's been banged up in a police chase.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You just drive it right into the garage and the door opens magically.
That's amazing. All right. Well, I'm glad it all went well.
Yeah,
I went to a funeral yesterday. So here's the weird thing about that funeral. It was lovely and, you know, the words were nice and everyone was nicely dressed. I wore a tie, you know, things I don't like to do during the week, but I did.
Sure.
And, really nice stuff said by, especially Steve and, you know, about his mom and stuff. And it was all very nice and sweet and all that. However, this is a cemetery downtown Salt Lake City that I used to, as a teenager, we used to drive out there in a old beat up Datsun B210. Mm-hmm. Me and my friend Mark, Dan, and I don't know who all. And we'd go down there at like 1 a.m. and test all the urban legends that were supposedly at this cemetery.
Okay, is there like a list of urban legends?
Here's the problem. I don't remember the names, but there were at least two or three that we were really into back then. And one of them was the something Johnny something. You walk around his grave three times, you know, two armpit farts and a smile, and he'd come out and go or whatever.
Kind of like Candyman kind of thing.
Kind of like that. Yeah, basically they're all variations on Candyman. That's what it's why it's so dumb. It's like every kid urban legend is basically Candyman with a twist.
Right, just a version, right, exactly.
Without the cool bees in his mouth, right? So we did all that. I remember I got grounded real hardcore once for doing that because we were out till like 3 and my parents didn't know and I was trying to sneak back into the house and they were up and they chewed me out. And I got grounded for 2 weeks, which kind of sucked. But anyway, the point is that this was this storied place where as kids we would go screw around and run around and avoid cops and all that. Now, you know, as you're wont to do when you're 15, 16,
right.
17.
Right.
So we're there, and I'm kind of having these flashbacks. I haven't been there since, really, since high school, because why? I don't, you know, nobody I know knows gets buried up there. And a couple things. First of all, the funeral itself is on, the entire cemetery is kind of in these foothills of way upper Salt Lake City, like up behind the Capitol. And it's all inclined. So it's all on a slope. The entire cemetery is on a slope. So even though the headstones and the nice statues and all this stuff are all, what's the word? They're all vertical. You know, they look fine. Right. The way that they're built is kind of like when you build houses on a hill. They're straight up, but then there's a chunk that's
bottom is
yeah.
Angled.
You know what I'm talking about? Right. Kind of like that. And I realized, we're gonna be doing this whole thing for however long it takes, like an hour and a half or whatever, on a slope. Man, let me tell you. When you got to stand / sit, whatever, during a ceremony on uneven ground for an hour and a half, we're not meant to do that. We're not mountain goats, right? We're
no, just exactly. Like,
oh my gosh, why is my hip hurt? Okay, why is that lady tipping to the left and almost fell over twice? Or why?
If God had wanted us to spend a lot of time on the side of a hill, he would have made one leg shorter than the other.
That's right. So that's number one. Number two, I have a question for the public in general, and we'll ask the chat room of this, and certainly I want your opinion.
Okay.
When I was young, a little kid age, my parents were adamant that you did not step on, stand too near, touch, or otherwise make contact with tombstones or headstones. Now, I don't know why that was, but when we were young, if we got anywhere near one, if I was, you know, the ones that are flat to the ground, like not sticking up. If you were standing even just a corner of your shoe on there, my mom or my dad, I think it was mostly my mom, would just flip out and say, get off of there. And so they had this thing where it was like you were showing the highest level of disrespect for the dead.
I would concur with that. I don't think, definitely don't want to be stepping on the corner one or sitting like if it's a vertical one, sitting on it,
right,
reclining against it. Right. Touching it is fine. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, like a respectful sort of,
finger,
this is...
hand contact with it.
Yeah, Brian says it's okay to finger the headstones.
That's right.
So here's what happened to me. When I was young, that was pounded into me, and we never understood it. And I feel like that's partly why I rebelled and went to these places and ran around and was an idiot. But also, when my kids were little... they would do the same thing. They're tempted to, I mean, little kids, they see it and they go, ooh, a weird new thing. I want to go be with the weird new thing. There was a temptation on my part to go, no, now let's not, burp, 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 and turning it into some teachable moment. But because they're all like 5 years old, it just felt weird to me to be chewing them out for a thing they wouldn't understand.
Sure.
So what I did is I would just be like, any other misbehaving, if they're being too rowdy, I'd say, guys, not here. It's not a cool place to do it. But if generally speaking, they're just sort of walking around one or kind of touching it and spinning around the other side, I'm not going to get too worked up about it. So that's kind of how we did it with our kids. So yesterday, little 5-year-old kid, my nephew, James, redheaded little nutbag. He's awesome. He's a cool little kid. He's running around the graves and he's touching all of them and he's stepping on them and he's walking over and climbing over them. Now, he's not my kid. So I'm not going to, first of all, I'm not going to interject in that way. But secondly, I'm just thinking, he's five. Do we really care at the end of the day that a five-year-old doesn't know that there are dead people under here? Because he doesn't know. How does he know? He has no idea. And besides, that's on his parents. That's fine. Kids, whatever, whatever. Now, there's these old people in their 50s, 60s who are all... And there was no seating for everybody, so a lot of people had to stand around like I was talking about. And a lot of these people just sat on graves that were, you know, the kind that were up a little bit, so they had a little seat. So they would sit on the graves and, like, kind of chill there. And one lady had a bottle of water perched up on top of a grave next door, and she just kind of chilling like this. And in those cases, I thought, well, maybe that is less than respectful, especially because we're here for another funeral, and you're sitting on the gravestone of some dude who's, you know.
Yeah, I would say... Say no to that. And like putting your water bottle on it like it's an end table.
Yeah, that is how they were treating it, like furniture. Which, again, I didn't say anything, nor am I here to judge anyone, but it struck me as a little off. And part of it is I was raised that way.
Yeah.
And you can't burn that stuff out of yourself, right? Like you can't, I don't know, you can't change that. And so
I won't even step on the, you know, the area in front of the headstone. When we went to that that cemetery in Los Angeles, like the Hollywood Cemetery with all the Marilyn Monroe and Dean Martin and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
It was like watching Burger Time. It was like watching me play a live action version of Burger Time, where I'm like walking straight and then making a 90-degree turn and then walking straight again, because I'm like trying to get diagonally across this area to go to where one of the headstones is that I want to see.
Yeah.
But I can't just make a as the crow flies diagonal path across there, because I'm going to step on Robert Culp and I'm going to step on Beretta and I'm going to step on, you know,
right,
Gilda Radner, whoever.
Well, you can step on Beretta. Apparently that guy was real.
Just keep, as long as you keep your eye on the sparrow.
Yeah.
But it was basically like, yeah, just do. So it's surprising that older people would not, Robert Blake, thank you.
Yeah, Robert
would
Blake.
This
is why we have a chat room, by the way, real-time fact-checking. This is what they do.
That's right.
Yeah. I love the idea that his gravestone would just say Beretta, and that's it.
Beretta, exactly.
Just straight up Beretta. There's like a bird silhouette next to it. Done.
A little cockatiel.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I like that
actually
a lot.
Is Robert Blake even, has he passed away?
I thought Robert Blake was dead, but maybe he's in prison or something. Hold on. I don't actually know. Let's find out. Okay, Robert Blake, he is...
No, still alive.
Oh, he's still, 83. Yeah, still kicking it. Yeah, but he
still
was
keeping an eye on the sparrow, maybe.
Yeah, he was, he was acquitted, I guess, of that, the death.
The murder
thing.
Of his wife, yeah.
Yeah. He freaks me out when he's all, look at him. He looks like a creepy dude.
I know. He kind of looks like
I don't trust him.
Mob boss. Like he's going to give you the package to take DeMarco in GTA.
Yeah. Jedi 71, which is, I'm so sorry you're so far down the list of Jedis. It's fine, though. There's 70 other Jedis ahead of you, and I apologize. But Jedi 71 in the chat room says, what I have found is that the old folks get more and more ho-hum about funerals and cemeteries. They've been to too many, and it's just lost its reverence. That's possible. Sure.
Yeah.
I understand that. I guess.
So you want to be the first of your old friends to die.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know,
they're still fresh on the, oh, we got to be really respectful at
big
funeral.
Time. You know what was sad is that, so her.
By about the eighth one, they're just bringing blankets and and barbecues. And
her and her siblings, they all have, there's a family history of Alzheimer's. And so that was kind of what took her down after about 3 years of fighting it. And, her brother was there, Skip, who is also suffering from Alzheimer's, although it's a much more friendly kind of happy Alzheimer's. It's kind of hard to explain. It's the same disease, but his tendency is to just, he's just almost sweet. Like, you know what I mean? You know, it's just different for everybody.
Totally.
It's like some autistic kids are the sweetest, wonderful kids, and then some are just mean and punch everything and are mad. It's like that. It's just sort of, they handle it differently. Anyway, he has no idea what he was doing there. And I just could not get over that. He's sitting there. I guess he's probably 80 or 81 or something. They have one other sibling who has full faculties and she's fine and she's in her 90s, but the ones in their 80s have all succumbed to this. Anyway, he's sitting there and just is like, well, it's just so happy to see everybody. He's introducing himself to everyone. He remembers his own name. He's so excited, but he doesn't remember that he had a sister. He doesn't remember that any of these are his nephews, nieces, grandchildren, anything. And he's just sort of sitting at a funeral going, oh, it's very nice outside. And I just thought, man, that's either great or terrible. I don't know what that is.
I think it's if you're going to have any form of dementia.
Yeah.
Let it be the, you know, the happy to see you goldfish memory, like, all right, hey, you're cool. I'll sit with you. You're, you know, what a beautiful day and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Dementia. Yeah. And by the way, so Abraxo Cass says it's like being a happy or mean drunk. Yeah. Kind of like that is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I don't want a blanket statement, everybody. Obviously, everyone's different, but that's what it reminded me of.
It is probably when you remove those inhibitions that keep us, that basically we have all day long about managing our emotions and maybe suppressing or hiding them when they need to be suppressed or hidden. When you take out that filter, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia is basically just going to be that unfiltered version of you. So it's just like, when you drink, it takes out those inhibitions, those filters, those walls. So I imagine that basically you're just going to get the very raw essence of who that person is when they have that.
You're getting the real deal.
So boy, get out of my way. If I lose those filters, if I lose those blocks.
Yeah. I wonder what you're like. I'm trying to think. You're probably nice still.
Oh, come on. Yeah. How could I not be? I mean, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I am the nicest guy in podcasting.
That's true. Now, if you strip all mine away,
I'm the nice god of podcasting. Let's see if that one's taken.
I think if you strip mine all away, I think I'm a huge dick. I think that's what happens. And as Scott Fletcher always says,
the morning stream, no dicks here.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Got to live by those words, you know.
Anyway. No, I don't think. I think that your very essence is one of positivity and cheer. So I think you're.
I hope so. I hope so. When my stuff gets stripped away, I hope it just strips away all my anxiety, all my whatever all my negative connotations might be, and I'm just left with just, oh, look at the grandchildren. Come here. Let's work. You know, like that's what I want.
There we go. That's if there's any good reason to have you drink, it's to see what that Scott Johnson is.
Well, I'm guessing, you know, when I've had when I've been sedated before, which isn't all that different. I'm a pretty jolly guy when that happens.
Colonoscopy, right, yeah. Exactly.
I tell a lot of...
You just get accusatory about the guy on Twitter.
Yeah, and I tell a lot of truth comes out.
That's right.
When I'm incapacitated. That
guy. An anesthesiologist, I think she was looking at me.
Yep, no lies there, that's for sure. Home in sunny South Carolina, it's Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi.
Hello. You made it home. How are you? Everything fine?
I did. I made it home just in time for the hurricane.
Oh, yeah. That's true. So, okay. So, this Irma deal, it's expected to fly right up the chute there in Florida. Does that threaten you guys immediately? Does it just mean a lot of after rain? Like, what does that mean for you guys?
Right. I'm pretty far in from the coast, so it's mostly going to be rain, and more rain.
Mm. All right. Well, that's...
And lots of times, we're on the evacuation route as well, so our traffic surges. We'll have a lot of people here, probably, if they evacuate.
It sounds like they're doing some mandatory evacuations of parts, anyway.
Florida.
And they're doing it early. I kind of wish our president would quit acting like he's talking about crowd sizes when he discusses stuff on Twitter about the hurricane. Bothers me just a little bit. Wow, biggest hurricane in history. It's like, okay, right. Dude.
Exactly. Maybe
it's people's lives at stake. Let's calm down a little bit, you know? Just let's have a little...
Why? I gotta ask.
Obama didn't have hurricanes this big. the previous administration.
Why even talk about the man?
I know. He's out. He's not even in my head now. All I see is Cheetos.
At this point in time, I'm like, oh, he said something stupid today. Wow.
Yeah, no. Big shock.
Exactly. It's not.
It's like, what's it like?
The shock is worn off.
Yeah, right. The shock is done. It's like, oh, he said something shitty. Moving on.
This is like week two in prison.
Yeah, oh, okay. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Wow, you got used to things in prison quick. That is fast. 2 weeks.
Well, you know, it's a trait of all the Ibbot men. We get used to things quick in prison.
That's right.
And now I can sit down again.
Yep. Right. Dude, please do.
Hey, this episode of Stump Dunaway is brought to you by, are you or someone you know struggling with addiction or currently in recovery? Hammond Chamberlain from Beyond the Playlist and Soundography is launching a new podcast. This new show will provide not just information and education, but it'll be a supportive community. This weekly podcast will give you personal stories of inspiration, tools to help you continue on your sober living path, no matter where you are in the process, and information from therapists that have been working in the field for over 20 years. Check out our show and our website at climboutnetwork.com. That is the podcast Climb Out to Sobriety.
Nice.
Will this help me with my Doritos addiction?
Yeah.
Yes, sure. Yes, you can finally climb out from the bag.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty embarrassing, the Doritos fingers. You're out in public sign. and
You just know people are looking at you. They're looking over like, oh, he's a Doritos addict. Look at those fingers.
Brian does Dunaway does a proper pronunciation of Doritos. You say Doritos.
99.9% of the population does the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, I have always said Doritos, like there's a D at the end. It's like, oh, look at that big bowl of Doritos. That's what I say, Doritos. My sister used to say Dehotries, which is nothing like Doritos. But anyway, you say Doritos, and you say it with gusto, and I like that. I respect that. Yeah.
Yeah, with the Doritos.
Yeah.
You have no choice.
Right. It's how it's spelled.
Right. Yeah.
No, you're doing.
There's not a lot of leeway on it. I mean.
No, you're doing the Lord's work, dude. Keep it up.
It is that perfect word building where it's a consonant vowel.
Exactly.
Do-re-to.
Do-re-to.
That's what the Japanese have perfected.
Do-re-to. Something else. All right. Let's play the game. Let's play a little game with Dunaway. I'm going to pull somebody in for this. Let's see. Oh, who have we not talked to before? I know. This name's kind of familiar, but we'll do it anyway. It's Sean the Sean. Sean the Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it's nice to have you here, Sean the Sean. Hey. We've had you on before, haven't we? I think we have.
Yeah, I've called in a few. Well, not for a prize, but I've.
Yeah, you've called him for stuff. Yeah. Cool. I've heard your voice.
Sean the Sean.
Yeah, he's got a very cool, chill, kind of. What's the word? It's the kind of guy you want to have with you. You want to have him your back while you're out on a Saturday night, just on the side going, oh, I wouldn't talk to her if I were you. She looks like trouble. Something about that voice is very reassuring. Anyway, it's good to have you here, Sean the Sean. There. Brian, will you? Ibbot, rather, will you please explain how this works to Sean the Sean?
I would be happy to, the two. Sean the Sean, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is a number. Brian Dunaway is going to give his answer, and then we're going to turn to you. We're going to look to you, Sean the Sean, for the response to this question. We'll be asking you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you will win the prize package from Monday, which includes this link tea infuser, become a master infuser because it's dangerous to tea alone, and this awesome Wonder Woman t-shirt which features Gal Gadot.
Oh yeah, it's the Gal Gadot Wonder Woman. Great.
It is. And we're adding a couple prizes today. Whenever somebody sends us a box of goodies to give away on the show, and it's usually made up of stuff from loot crates, it always includes this T2 metal sign.
My goodies.
I've given away like six of these over the years, including the one that I got too. But it's a really cool T2 sign. If nothing else, you can use it as a delightful metal serving tray.
Sure. Why not?
Turn it upside down.
Yeah, put hors d'oeuvres in his face.
Also adding something a little bit more functional. If you travel a lot, and if you travel to the world of Hogwarts, then you're going to want this Harry Potter luggage tag. I feel like I'm doing QVC or something. This is it's a really cool luggage tag that says 9 3/4.
Nice.
And, I gotta I gotta say, if like Sean, the Sean has waited till like the lottery has gotten up to like 100 million.
Yeah, no,
you're giving away a lot of stuff.
Buying the ticket.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Right? No, this is definitely what that is. You bought the right ticket. Well, let's see if you scratch off the right ticket, because that right. scratching still needs to happen. What's his category?
The category is movies.
Oh, movies, eh?
Ooh, I've watched movies.
Yeah.
I've watched you watch a movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've watched movies with you. This is a very broad category, but we'll see how you do. So, Dunaway, here's your question. Logistics/logistics art project is the longest movie ever released. I doubt you've even heard of it, but because I hadn't before this. How many minutes long is the film Logistics Logistics Art Project? And I'm not going to even give you a hint because the number, it's not going to make any sense what I'm about to say. So I'm not going to give you a hint on time. How long do you think the world's longest film is?
Okay, so I'm still stuck in the fact that we're talking to Sean the Sean about logistics. So if I can get my mind to spin out of that spiral and figure out how many minutes is the longest movie. Well, I happen to know that there's plenty of long movies.
Yeah.
And if this is even longer.
We've watched a few for films.
Yeah, we've seen a number of them, sure.
Right, and you want minutes, right?
Yeah. By the way, the Godfather's longer than I thought it was. That thing was like...
It's almost 3 hours.
Yeah, maybe the... I mean, maybe been the director's one I saw, which is like another 15 minutes or something. That was a long freaking movie. Anyway. Finally seen it, though, so I feel good about it.
Come to you looking for a favor.
Right. So now, you said it's the longest movie. So is it the longest theatrical movie? Because you know, the Hobbit movies, not the Hobbit, but you know, Lord of the Ring movies, some of those are the extended cuts. Do those count too, or is that in the competition?
You can count anything you want that's extended or otherwise. That is absolutely fair game. So longest film, edited, director's cut, theatrical, doesn't matter. Total length is what we're looking for here.
It was this has been screened in theaters, so
okay, so it was theatrical. Interesting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I'm going to make a wild, crazy guess on the top end.
All right.
Okay. How about 325
minutes? 325
minutes.
Brian Ebbett, is that the correct answer?
325 minutes.
Wait. Go ahead. No. I'm sticking with it. Go ahead.
Right. 325 minutes is incorrect. Sean the Sean is the correct answer. Higher or lower than 325 minutes?
It doesn't seem like that long. Like, I know that's long.
Yeah.
I'm going to go higher.
Yeah, you'd have to pee no matter what in that time.
Yeah, no kidding.
But
yeah.
I don't.
It sounds like Han Solo's in the background asking for some spanners.
Has he ever seen spanners? He said.
Are you working on a Corellian ship freighter over there?
You know, a ship freighter.
Freighter.
Let's find out if that is indeed correct, because the judges, they know, and we want to see if you win or not. So is that higher?
Congratulations.
It is absolutely
higher.
Wow. You're a winner.
Yeah.
That's over 5.5 hours.
Well, Brian,
wait till you hear.
Yeah, you're about to be freaked out. This is the most artsy fartsy thing I've ever heard of in my life. Right. The answer is 51,420 minutes long.
What?
That is 857 hours or 35 days and 17 hours. This was aired.
That's not a movie.
I agree. 100,000%.
That would be like if you watched Lord of the Rings in real time.
Yeah, while it was being filmed.
Right, like basically, you know, all right, the Hobbits, there's a lot of footage of the Hobbits just walking along and eating bread out of a napkin.
Yeah, most movies are shot in less time than 35 days, and this thing lasted that long. I don't know what this is or why it's that long, but I'm trying to think of how much percentage desire I have to see it, and I think it's whatever below zero is what I have to want to see it. I don't want to see it. That's the bottom line.
No interest whatsoever.
Is there like a super cut that I could like, you know, get the basics of it?
The gist, probably. Yeah, probably some YouTube thing or something. Who knows?
Golly, I just looked up. There's a whole bunch of movies over 120 hours.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. This isn't interesting to me at all. Like, I guess I've seen enough that many days of entertainment. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to figure this out. So let's see. If we take 857 hours. So 857. We divide that by 60-minute increments. Oh, wait. Where's my calculator? This is some horseshit.
I don't know, but I have not seen a single of these movies, and most of them start over 5 hours and 21 minutes, including the movie orgy.
Yeah. That's 14.28 hours? That can't be. No, wait. 857. No, that's okay. Well, the math's easy. It's 857 episodes of something. Think about it in 60-minute chunks. Right. Well,
If you divide that by like 23, that'll give you like how many seasons of something.
Yeah. So 857 divided by 23. That's 37 television shows that went a full 24 episode season. That's
37 seasons of a
Or yeah, 37 seasons
of a TV show, yeah. Of an hour long TV show.
Yeah, which is a lot of television shows because none of them do 37 seasons. I mean, even if you count The Simpsons, only 24, 25 seasons. Oh my gosh, that's too long. These people are insane. Never do this. Right. I'll bet people played World of Warcraft less time than this. This is insane.
Lord of the Rings complete as a one single film is 11 hours, 21 minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh, if you watch the whole, yeah. My kids always want to do that about once a year, and then they try, and then they fizzle out about halfway through Two Towers. They can't do it.
Right. I've eaten all the Doritos I can eat.
Yeah. They try really hard, though. Sean, here's what's going to happen. You're going to send an email to Brian Ibbett at coverville@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. That's coverville@gmail.com. He will send you your prize package, and once again, congratulations.
Thank you.
I really like Sean the Sean.
He's just too darn laid back. Yes. I don't know.
I want him around. Like when I'm skydiving for the first time, I want to turn to my left and go, Sean the Sean, I'm terrified. And he'll go, everything will be okay.
Like if I were to win this James Cameron inspired cheese tray.
Again,
I would be jumping up and down.
You're really selling me on it now. The reason when you call it that. Brian Dunaway, the pleasure has been ours. You can find him on a great podcast called Comics Coast to Coast of comicscoasttocoast.com and The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. He is back from Dragon Con. Life begins anew. I hope you're doing good, man. You having a good time? Oh, and we'll do a new Boop show this weekend for sure.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Oh, so real quick question about Dragon Con. Are you officially out?
I'm just hanging out at the Dragon Con.
Oh,
So from now on, your trips to Dragon Con will be recreational and not.
We'll see.
I knew it. You got roped in again.
Let's talk about next Labor Day, because I want to go out there, and I'm pretty sure I missed the window to get a hotel room at the
event. You did. That's okay. We'll stay at the MARTA station. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. I get a sleeping bag. I can have an open guitar case.
Sure, why not? I'm going to try to VIP my way into a room because I just realized I haven't done that either. Well, we'll figure it out. Brian Dunaway, have a great day. Kiss my butt. Goodbye. All right.
Oh, yeah. All I need to do is send him a picture of my my Hall of Fame thing, right? And now I can just get them to give me room there.
Yeah.
That's all I need to do.
Force it. Force them to do it.
Oh, I'm totally doing it.
All right. I'm in on your wild plan of debauchery. All right. what do we do now? I know this. It's the news brought to you by.
When I say geeked, you say up.
All right.
I mean, they never tell me to say geek, though. IG Studios' very own dynamic duo, Nate and Brandon, are at it again with All Geeked Up, the podcast about anything geek-related, movies, comics, video games, really, whatever they feel like talking about. Shows are always recorded live with fun and interactive chat room participation. This is one geeky podcast you don't want to miss. So what in the name of geek are you waiting for? Foy. Join Brandon and Nate every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch at twitch.tv/inkedgeekstudios. That's inked with an E-D. Inked Geek Studios. And remember, when we say geeked, you say
up.
There we go.
Geek up. Geeked up.
Geeked up. Geeked up.
Martin Scorsese in the news. You're a fan. You like him.
Oh, yeah. Basically, he's our current supervillain. Like if we had Bruce Willis running around like Unbreakable and, you know,
Yeah.
And Kick-Ass Kids and stuff like that, they'd be going after Martin Shkreli.
They sure would. Well, he's currently getting ready to serve his guilty term for whatever the hell that thing is.
And by the way, yeah. Calling him Martin Shkreli, no. The dude is Shkreli. Shkreli. Like a sound you make when you dig a big chunk of something out of your ear. Shkreli.
Wow.
Not a fan.
I don't know if
not a fan.
I've never really dug a big chunk of something out of my ear, so I'm trying to relate. Martin Shkreli is selling his Wu-Tang Clan album. Yeah, that album he bought. Remember that deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one-of-a-kind, well, literally one-of-a-kind album.
Yeah, they never did it anywhere else. There was no mass production. It was just straight up, here, buy it on this auction thing, and that's what they did. Well, he did that, but that was before his... I assume this is to help pay for his mess that he's in right now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But here is what he says on his eBay page for this. This is the one and only Wu-Tang Clan album. I decided to purchase this album as a gift to the Wu-Tang Clan for their tremendous musical output. Instead, I received scorn from at least one of their least intelligent members. You sure Trump didn't write this? It feels very Trumpy, doesn't it?
Wow, no kidding. That's like the most insulting.
Jeez. And the world at large failed to see my purpose of putting a serious value behind music. I will be curious to see if the world values music nearly as much as I have. You're such a dick. Everything he says is such a dick move. Everything.
Everything.
He's such a dick. Anyway, I have donated... to many rock bands and rappers over the years to ensure they can continue to produce their art when few others would. You know, a lot of these people just make albums and people buy them, you dumbass. They don't
right,
need
exactly.
you. You're the great savior Jeez. Of the arts. I seriously want to kick him in the little bag, in the bean
yeah,
bag.
Yeah.
It says, at any time I may cancel the sale and I may even break this album in frustration. this is real, by the way. I will donate half of the sale proceeds to medical research. I'm not selling to raise cash. My companies and I have record amounts of cash on hand.
Oh, then why are you only donating half of the sale to medical research, you dick?
Such a dick. All right. He says,
the other half I'm going to burn in a live stream.
Yeah, it's just everything he says. I mean, it's real familiar is what I'm saying. I hope somebody with a bigger heart for music can be found for this one-of-a-kind piece and makes it available for the world to hear. Sincerely, Martin Shkreli. He does then go on to say, upon sale, I will represent and warranty any copies of the music I have will be destroyed. I have not carefully listened to the album, which is a double CD.
What does that mean? So he bought it and he hasn't really, he carefully listened to it.
Yeah, this
great... I bet he hasn't even listened to it. I think the word carefully is not... It's not even necessary.
Exactly.
He bought it to be a dick, and now he's just basically saying, I've never even listened to this thing.
Yeah, now he's still a dick. There is also a finely crafted booklet, which you can read about elsewhere. I will pay legal expenses for the buyer up to $25,000 to ensure the final purchase details are mutually agreeable. Let's see what it's up to. It's an actual eBay listing.
It's up to $100,000.
All right. What did he pay for it? Do we know?
I think he paid $1 million, didn't he?
That may have...
I can't remember.
Oh, there have been 199 bids.
I'm really bummed that... I was really hoping that we had, previous... you can look at what other things they've sold in the past.
Yeah.
really was hoping we'd find some hilarious skeletons in his closet.
It looks like his first sell.
Yeah, it is. He joined... he's been a member of eBay since September 5th, 2017, which is 24 hours ago.
I'm going to take a closer look at this photo. All right. In this photo, a disheveled room.
This is kind of fun. All right. Look at this. Yeah.
What's that thing behind him on the stand? I don't know what that is.
It looks like a panda Tsum-Tsum toy.
Okay.
Oh, it's on a Marshall, next to a Marshall stack. Or it's on a Marshall.
Like an amp. Like a
amplifier.
Yeah, guitar. There's an electric guitar and an amplifier there. And then there's a mm-hmm. bottle of water that's down to the dregs.
That looks staged, by the way. Let me make sure my guitar and my amplifier are visible in the phonograph.
And then also that my hand is horribly disfigured. Look at his freaking pinky. What is going on with that?
Yeah, it's like he's given two in the pink and one in the stink to that Wu-Tang Clan album.
Ask your Ask your porny uncle. That is, yeah, I don't know, 100 grand, whatever, I guess that's money. I mean, whatever.
Doesn't it seem weird, though? By the way, I mean, if you look at the bid history, yeah. So if you look at where it says 199 bids, oh, we're just shy of 200 bids, and it's magically gotten up to the perfectly round number of $100,000. It yeah. seems fishy, like he's...
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Like he's funneling money through eBay or something.
Let's look at some of his Q&As down here. Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, does he have Q&As?
He says, a question. Please, could you clarify, A, what you mean by I have carefully not listened to the album, and B... And then B, there's nothing. There's no B.
Yeah, there's no B.
Okay, great. He says, I put it on in the background when some friends were over. No one was paying attention. I hate this guy. I freaking hate him. Everything he says makes me annoyed. Right. He is one of those personalities that if you were in high school with this kid, you just want to throw a poo at him. Right. Speaking of a poo, I got a good story about a poo here.
All right. I'm just looking here to see, like, hey, Martin, I thought you signed an agreement with the Wu-Tang Clan that you could not resell the CD and where the property goes back to them. Is that correct? Do you mind sending me the legal documents you signed when you acquired the CD? And he says, no, the sale's legally allowed. The buyer may not commercialize the work for 86 further years. I don't know why I'm giving him that voice. It's clearly, you know, he's clearly getting this voice.
Martin Scully. We clearly don't like him, folks.
Is the disc enclosure functional? Yes, the outer case needs some cleaning and repair.
What?
Is the jewel case fingerprint free?
I use it to wipe my ass. All right. This woman here in this story was trapped in a window while trying to, and I quote, retrieve a poo.
Okay.
A woman who threw her poo out of her date's toilet window because it would not flush had to be rescued after she got struck trying to retrieve it.
Oh, before we go any further, we must analyze this. Just this initial sentence is fantastic.
Yeah, so, it's pretty good.
She's on a date back at the guy's house.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom. By the way, dinner was lovely. Thank you for taking me to that authentic Mexican restaurant. Goes to the bathroom and leaves a dookie in the toilet so massive.
Yeah, that it won't flush.
Gravity won't even take it away.
Nope. Stuck there.
And so she... Oh, great. I can't wait to find out how she, like...
seen this photo? You gotta look at this photo of this lady stuck in this window. It's awful. Oh, my gosh. Like, what happened? Oh, this is the worst.
Oh!
She says, let's see. The amateur gymnast was on a first date with Bristol student Mark Turpin. Just kidding. Liam Smith. When she panicked and threw the feces out the window. Or as they spell... Is that misspelled or is that how they spell it over there?
That's how they spell feces.
Yeah. F-A-E-S-C-E-S. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Feces.
Feces. I've thrown my feces. It did not land in the garden but became wedged between two non-opening windows. After
so between the storm window, oh my gosh,
that's bad. Climbing in headfirst after it, she became wedged. Mr. Smith had to call the fire brigade for help. The story appeared on a crowdfunding page set up by the University of Bristol student Mr. Smith, who raised the funds to fix the broken window, wrote that he was on a Tinder date with a woman and they went back to the shared houses he lives in. Oh, we had a really nice evening, he said. We had a meal at a well-known chicken restaurant, had a few beers, and then came back back to mine for a bottle of wine and a film.
A well-known chicken restaurant.
That's so weird. It's so
weird.
Was
it Popeyes or KFC?
He said the woman went to the toilet, and when she came back, she had panicked look in her eye. Wait, how'd she come back? Oh, and told me what she had done. He said the toilet window opened a narrow gap between them. It was into the twilight zone that my date had thrown her poo, he said. So she went to
picture
fix
a
it.
Turd.
Yeah.
A turd caught between our reality and the reality of another land.
Stuck between a painted window and the garden.
From the outside, it looks like it's stuck between two panes of glass. But in this world, we know it's stuck in. The Twilight Zone.
The worst part of this, there's even a photo of the what they call the offending package. I don't need that in my life.
It looks white.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
You know,
I don't know what we're looking at. Maybe that's a wad of toilet paper or something.
Gross. This is a bad date. This is a bad date.
Bad dates, indeed.
Bad dates. Bad dates.
Yeah. I'm not even... The whole thing is just so funny. Like, why would he start a crowdfund? Like, replacing a window.
Yeah.
Because they had to smash it to get... I guess to rescue her and to get the poo out, but...
Yeah. It's horrendous. Everything about this is horrendous.
It's like he started a crowdfund just so he could tell the story online, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Kind of like, you know, Scarelli selling his freaking music.
Right.
Speaking of Scarelli, not really. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a Scarelli, we'd like to say. And when we come back, it will be time with Tom, time with Nicole, and time with each other. But before all of that, a little song in the middle to break things up. What do you got?
Yes, I've got an artist from Minneapolis. The band is called Human Heat, but basically it is the work of Alex Schaff, who is a member of Yellow Ostrich. He's a touring member of The Tallest Man on Earth. And this is a brand new album that's coming out in a little bit over a week on September 15th. The album is called All Is Too Much. It's really, really good. I'm saying it's like a maybe like a modern Echo and the Bunnymen kind of vibe to it. You'll have to see for yourself what you think. Right. The song is called Best for You. Here is Human Heat.
I'm done.
Thanks to Bombfell for supporting our podcast today. Bombfell is an online personal styling service for men that helps find the right clothes for you. I'm wearing one of those items right now. It's really easy and it's personalized for you. After completing a simple questionnaire, you're matched up one-on-one with a dedicated personal stylist who handpicks every piece. Then he email you his or her selections, after which you have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total charge. You're in total control. And they have a variety of options. They scour menswear collections of brands and designers for around, you know, all around the world to send you pieces that work best for you specifically. I can attest to this. They're convenient and very straightforward. You pay for the clothes you keep and send back the rest at no charge. It's the only styling service that does not charge a styling fee or subscription fee. And they come straight to your door. I've had a great experience with this. The sign-up process was easy. The quiz was simple. They nailed it. The clothes they sent me fit perfectly. And they can do this for you as well. Really high quality stuff too, by the way. My wife was like, nice pants. She never says that to me when I've shopped for something. So be as cool as me and get some rad new clothes. We have a special offer just for you guys. For $25 off your first purchase, go to bombfell.com/TMS. That's bombfell.com/TMS. Once again, bombfell.com/TMS for $25 off your first purchase. And we thank Bombfell for supporting the show.
Waterman's pens, every one a master writing instrument, and Waterman's ink, the ink that goes up to three times as far as ordinary inks, are proud to present Gangbusters and its relentless war upon this crime wave.
My wife likes it when I do this in bed!
Ear, mere gird! This is the Morning Stream.
Man, we're back, everybody. Hello, we're back.
Hello, hello.
That was Terpster doing his Emperor on Star Wars.
Oh, very good, yes.
Yeah, he cracks me up with that. I'll play it again. Wait, play this again. Here we go.
My wife likes it when I do this in bed.
He's such a dork. He should have a baby any minute now. He's due.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. They're due on the 11th, but she's kind of having all sorts of early labor stuff, so it may be a little bit early and could be any time. He's having his second daughter, that Terpster there.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, you know, they know the sex.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They know how to. Oh, you mean the sex of the baby.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was complimenting Terpster on his prowess in the sack.
Yeah, right. They've successfully pulled this off twice that we know of. Oh my gosh, Scott. All right. Hey, Tom Merritt is on his way in with some rad stuff, if I can find cool. him and pull him in proper here. Here we go. This will be him. Oh, for some reason it's calling Dunaway back. That doesn't make sense. All right. Hey, everybody, strap in. Hold on to yourselves, because this is happening.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt. He is the proprietor of the Daily Tech News Show, and he's here to talk about tech. Tom, welcome to the show.
I am proud to be here, Scott. I love that I'm able to come here and talk to you both about technology, ease fears, you know, yeah. Eliminate uncertainty.
Sure.
And today, no exception, Symantec has a report that say hackers have control of our power grid. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Great.
Wait, how does Symantec know that? They've been, tell us
Symantec's
the story.
One of those security companies whose job it is to kind of track this sort of thing. And they've got a report. It's a long report saying that they've noticed a pattern of phishing emails that have gained credentials to lots of power companies, grids, not only in the United States, but places like Turkey and elsewhere. And it's a sobering report, because basically what Symantec says is, These attacks were not, oh, they got access to the internal system where they could learn about the electric grid. They actually were able to phish logins and credentials for the actual grid itself in some cases. Now, these are not nuclear power plants. These are not all power plants. These are just places that have less strict systems. But According to Symantec, they had switch access, which meant they could have turned things off. They could have messed with the power grid, and they didn't. Symantec thinks it was probably because they were waiting for a strategic moment. But Symantec has worked with the Department of Homeland Security in the United States and with various energy companies directly to help them, to alert them to the fact. And they say that right now, the grid is, there is no threat to public safety. At least that's what the DHS says.
Sure.
But it's sobering nonetheless that, that even for a moment, attackers had access like this. They might still have access at certain companies. We don't know.
Any indication from Symantec where they think the, is there any sort of centralized place where this is coming from? Is it a group of hackers spread all over the place?
We don't Symantec know. Describes it as a group called Dragonfly 2.0, which kind of links it to another Dragonfly group that earlier did attacks on government operations in the U.S. There's links there to Russia. There's always links to Russia. It doesn't mean anything. And Symantec doesn't even mention Russia in its report directly as being in any way connected.
And did they have Norton come out and do the announcement? Did he get up on a microphone?
Oh, God.
No?
You know, Symantec just cringes every time you say that. Because he has, let us reassure everyone in the audience, nothing to do with
him. Right. He's got zero to do with them. But I just love the idea of Norton up on a microphone letting us know what's going on. Anyway, that's scary. I don't like
That's disturbing news. But hopefully what it means is these energy companies really crack down. Symantec has recommended not only looking for malware and removing it, but also refreshing your company credentials so that everybody has a new login and password in case those logins and passwords had been stolen.
Right. And let's say they got a hold of logins and passwords. In theory, it wouldn't just be a matter of, I mean, it's a prank to shut the power down. It's more insidious to think that they might go in and, you know, put code in places that would control things at certain times. Like, you know, they could do a lot worse than just the power's out.
I mean, it's not just a prank to shut the power down. You put people's lives in danger. They shut the power down at the right time and you can kill people.
Right.
This is something that actually happened in Ukraine and a few people died because of it. Now, granted, it doesn't explode, you know, it's not a weapon of mass destruction, but it's something to take seriously.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like one bit of it. I think that sucks. And I'm glad Symantec's, on top of it. And I'm not sure the DHS would actually tell us if there was an imminent danger or not. They probably would rather ease our fears and not have us freak out, because if you did say, let's say that they've really infiltrated it, what are they going to say to us? Oh, they've got a hold of all the codes. We're screwed, everybody.
Run, everyone.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. So who knows what the state is, but I guess I'm glad Symantec exists and companies like that are always looking for vulnerabilities and letting people know about them, because gosh.
It's always that balance with companies like Symantec, because on the one hand, it's in their corporate interest to find vulnerabilities, right? They're a security company. So you always look at them with a little bit of a, like, how bad is it really? Are you trying to drum up some business? I don't ever believe these companies are so bad that they'll fake reports or anything like that, at least not the big ones. They'd get caught doing it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they can sort of carefully exaggerate the threat. And there's some disputes about whether this is actually connected to the group that Symantec thinks it is, and how much access they may have had over the years, and how extended the access is now. But the thing I take out of it that's very serious is they had access. Nobody's disputing that.
Right. Well, if you want to support Symantec, you can still get Norton at Norton.com. Check it out. Cool. Hey,
not a sponsor. Yeah.
next week, it's just a small mention I want to make that we do now have an official Apple event date, the Tuesday, Tuesday, I guess, and there'll be all sorts of coverage on the Daily Tech News Show. Anything else you'd like to mention coming up?
I got the Essential phone finally.
Oh, look at that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice looking phone. It feels good in the hand. I've been using it for a day now. I like it.
Yep.
I don't have anything to dispute the reviewers who've said, nah, probably not worth the money. It's an uninspiring phone in many ways because it doesn't do anything special and cool, but it is super solid. Like it's a really good solid phone and it works great. I don't know that that's enough to make people say, oh, well, I can get stock Android on it, so therefore I won't buy the Note or the Pixel, which has stock Android or something like that. We're of course waiting for stock, you know, a new Pixel to come out. So right now this might be for stock Android fans your best bet. I don't know. A lot of problems with the company's customer service and stuff like that.
Has fulfillment come? I mean, is people who were expecting their phones for the most part gotten them? Is there still any problems with that where people are still waiting?
There's some rumblings. It's hard to tell how much of that is just your normal, like anytime a product ships, there's always mistakes and people get mad about it, and how much is essential messing things up. The fact that they sent driver's licenses to everyone. I don't know if you heard about that, but they accidentally created a group email list instead of individual emails. And everybody who responded with driver's licenses were sending it to everyone else who had been asked for driver's licenses. That's bad.
So there
are definitely some rough edges in the customer service department.
That's also just something, I mean, that's like, man, that's a rookie mistake. Anyway, whatever. I want to hear more about the phone. I'm guessing we'll hear more about it on the Daily Tech News Show as you've got some time with
it. Yeah, I talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show. Might talk about it more today. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll see. Today's Wednesday. That means I'll be on, and it means 2:30 Mountain Time for the Daily Tech News Show. We'll talk about cool tech, stuff that's going on, and fill your minds with technological brilliance. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. TomMerrittBooks.com. You should go check those out. He writes books. They're really good. You should buy one. Is there anything else you want to tell people about? Yeah. Do you got anything else you want to sell or push?
Yeah, that's what we do here. I got a new book coming out soon, so keep your eyes out for that. We're getting closer and closer to the new milestone goal for DTNS, which would allow, I don't know, like Scott to do an art tech show, for instance, as part of our DTNS Labs effort. We'll do a monthly roundtable show, which everybody's been asking about forever. And we'll bring Sarah Lane onto the show on a regular basis, daily basis. So if you at all want to support DTNS, and if you like the idea of Sarah Lane and I bringing the team back together, head on over to patreon.com/DTNS.
I like that idea a lot. So go help them out. Tom Merritt, take it easy. Have a great day. And I'll see you in the spreadsheet.
See you there.
All right, bye. All right. So, hey, Nicole, time.
Yeah.
Let's get her in here. Let's get her all up in this.
All up in this business.
I'm jealous that you get to do fun things at her house because she makes food and stuff, and I think that's rad.
It is a plus, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Oh, Nicole. Nicole Spag, everybody, all the way from somewhere near Denver. Hello, Nicole.
I'm not too far. Yeah. In fact, just right down the road. I'm technically in Denver.
Oh, well, good. That's good. So now you're were you a Denver fan before, or do you guys not care about football out there?
I don't care about football, but my husband does.
Yeah. People who come from Arizona Cardinals land really shouldn't care about football because it's just going to be heartbreaking.
That's true. Yeah, those Arizona Cardinals just haven't really lived up to their promise, have they?
They used to be the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's true. That's the problem. You got a borrowed team. It's like us. We have the New Orleans Jazz and kept the name, and it's so dumb it makes me sick. Anyway, hey, it's Nicole. She's here. We're going to talk about cool stuff like movies and streaming things and TV shows and whatever stuff we found on the streaming services. It's called Recommendals, and we do it every Wednesday. The tradition says, right here, I'm looking at the tradition. It says that Brian has to start. So, Brian?
Yes. Oh, do I? Okay. All right.
Do you have any setup for the clip that we're about to hear?
No, the less setup I give you, the better, because you're going to know it exactly. Like, you're going to know it as soon as you hear, 5 seconds of it. So, but it is something that we've been watching and really, really enjoying.
All right. Here it is.
You four. The devil of Hell's Kitchen. The smart-ass detective.
We got a problem?
The righteous ex-con.
My bad.
And the kid with a glowing fist.
Yes, I want you to be.
The war for New York is here.
I want to talk about this stuff.
Man, this trend of like 90s songs all retweaked for your trailers is so funny to me.
I do love it though.
I do like too. That version. I do too. I kind of like it.
It's either that or they take a an 80s AM radio hit, slow it way down, and have it sung by warbly voiced little girl and strip out almost all the instrumentation.
Yeah, or Lord. Sometimes they have Lord.
Right. Doesn't that kind of cover most of it?
Yeah, that's true. You kind of she sort of fits your thing. So
I really
so,
like to see it. Oh, you gotta have the echo.
So how is the See, there it is. That's it. It's like an Assassin's Creed trailer or something.
Awesome.
It's really cool.
Assassin's Creed was the worst movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So but that's Defenders, obviously.
Defender.
Yeah.
Is.
So
it
Nicole, Defenders. You said you had thoughts. I want to hear those before Brian tells us why he likes it. What do you think? What are you thinking of it?
The Defenders.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
Oh,
yet.
I thought you said something during the
like
clip.
Yeah.
I thought you said something during the clip where you said, "Oh, I wanted to talk, say something about this or something."
Maybe no. The I wanted about the theme.
Okay.
Oh, the song. Okay. I misheard that. All right. So, Brian, Defenders, good,
yes.
Good, bad, equal. What is it?
Good. I'm enjoying it a lot. And it's basically taking, you know, the four stories, the four characters that they've introduced, well, four of the five characters that they've introduced on the Netflix Marvel series, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage, and combining them into one 8-hour show. So it's not the full length that you get with the individual seasons that we've gotten for all those characters.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more digestible and, but they're not pulling any punches. You get Sigourney Weaver as like the main,
baddie.
The big bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're really doing a great job of not just making it so that, oh, these four characters all happen to be in the right place at the right time to kind of merge. They're kind of joined together by those loose tendrils that were created in all of their individual seasons, most notably the secondary characters like Colleen Wing and Claire the nurse and Stick and stuff like that. And you're getting connections that seem a lot more natural and organic.
I like Stick. Kevin Garvey Sr. He's great.
Right.
Freaking yes. Scott Glenn, good in everything he's
Scott
in.
Scott Glenn. He is. He's just so awesome.
Yep.
And
love that guy.
So far it's been really good. We're 4 hours into it, so we're about halfway through. And I think it was Daryl who pointed out during when we were talking about Daredevil that they use a little bit of a red tint on all of his episodes.
Yeah.
In his seasons. And they do exactly the same thing with all the other seasons. Jessica Jones has this kind of bluish purple tint. Iron Fist has a green tint and Luke Cage has a yellow tint to the entire series. And what's funny with this is as they're reintroducing the characters and going back and forth, you can tell which arc, story arc, which character they're going to be talking about, because as soon as they show the establishing shot of a bus or a street and it's kind of got that yellow tint, you know, oh, okay, this is going to be a Luke Cage story arc piece.
Oh, weird.
And I was kind of curious as to what they were going to do when they had all four characters together. Like, is it going to be this, like, Muddy
Rainbow.
Brown? Yeah.
It should make just each one of them. Yeah. I like that.
Right. Whoever's talking, it turns red, and then it turns green. but they take off those filters completely. It seems like they have kind of a muted look to it all anyway, because it's Hell's Kitchen and Harlem and all these, you know.
I mean, how obvious is that? Is it annoyingly obvious, or is it just a nice touch?
Well, it probably wouldn't have been obvious to some people before I said anything, but now that you know to look for it, you're going to notice it right away. It's even knowing it's there. I kind of like it. I think it's a really cool effect. So I don't think it's going to be annoying or obnoxious.
Good.
But it's really, really good. And it makes me excited to see, you know, the Punisher in a separate series that they're going to be coming out with.
Yeah. That's the one I'm really looking forward to. So
yeah.
Are we close to peak superhero yet?
Peak Marvel.
Or like Overload, you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't feel like it.
Maybe.
I feel it. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind, and I'm like, you know, like you're just like.
I haven't seen Doctor Strange yet, or I haven't seen the Thor sequel. Like Scott,
I haven't seen the second Thor movie.
Seen Civil War. Mm-hmm. I haven't.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
That's the apex.
I still say Winter Soldier.
Oh,
the apex.
Winter Soldier. Yeah. Okay.
It's all right. There's nothing wrong with Civil War, but it's not my favorite of all of them.
Yeah. No. The 12-year-old me is loving every bit of this. Like, you know, seeing all these characters done well that I loved in the comics. I wish that the X-Men which are doing being done better than they have in recent past. I wish that they would be doing those as well as they do all the MCU characters, because they're doing such a great job making those stories.
And we've talked about this. Logan.
Logan was awesome.
Logan was great. I really did enjoy Logan.
But part of the reason Logan was so great is because Logan was out of was a risk. It was a weird decision, like not playing it safe. So Nicole,
Deadpool was great. Logan was great.
Yeah,
Apocalypse was.
Wonder Woman was great. I mean, I guess when it's just the single focus, it's when we start getting this ensemble.
Yeah,
that I feel very like pulled in a lot of different directions, and I'm like, oh, I want to know more about, and I don't know. I just I don't know.
Like Shedwick.
Listen, you don't have to watch it all.
Oh, I know. But I love it. I'm like you. I love it. And I feel like I almost can't keep up with it all.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Have you seen the second Guardians of the Galaxy or Spider-Man yet? Okay.
Yeah. Not Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was great. But I'm with Nicole on this one point. Like, when they take bigger risks, I'm more into it than I am if it's just like another hero doing hero things.
Rinse and repeat kind of thing, right?
Yeah, the formula of... Oh no, there's a big problem. Let's all get together. No, we're going to fight amongst each other first. And then we're going to band together. And this guy's going to go off on his own because he's angry at the rest of the team. And now they're going to come back and they're going to only with him joining us are we going to be able to defeat this big menace.
That's why I'm excited about Ragnarok, because I feel like it's going to take it in a different direction. Plus that Waki Takiki or whatever his name is awesome. And I love his movies. And
he's great.
Yeah. And his Instagram is worth following, everybody, by the way, because he puts the funniest photos of him and cast members from Thor doing stupid shit. Yeah, it's great. There's a great shot of Chris Hemsworth flipping him off in full Thor outfit, doing it very ironically, but while he's all covered in like motion capture stuff, it's really funny. You'd see it.
I will say, Nicole, that you are probably about to get way more Marvel on television than you want, because they've got the Misfits or not Misfits. What is it? It's the Runaways, Gifted, Cloak and Dagger.
Was it Legion?
Legion was cool. Great. Yeah.
Oh, Legion's so cool.
Legion's absolutely worth seeing. Yeah. But like a bunch of new series that are all coming, and
they're all weird.
Some of them Fox, some of them in the MCU.
Yeah.
But it does seem like we shouldn't have four new television projects. Oh yeah, Inhumans, of course. Four or five new television projects in the works for this fall. It's starting to feel like I don't know.
We're just being
that aspect.
This is like a money grab.
Yeah, we're being inundated.
I know that's what this is about, but I don't know. And I think it's a little naive of me to think that they're doing this for the fans.
Right,
no,
of course.
I know that.
And this is always the risk, right? You always, if you're going to go this hard in, you're going to alienate people because you're going to overdo it, and people are going to need a break, and they're going to want to swing a different way for a while. So they make what they can and do what they can.
I'm curious as to if anybody in the chat room went and saw Inhumans in theaters, because they redid the pilot as a 2-hour movie. They're going to show it on TV and at the end of this month. But on September 1st, you could have actually gone to the theater, to IMAX, and watched the premiere of the Inhumans. And I'm hearing bad reviews about it, but I'm curious if anyone actually.
Isn't it in IMAX? I heard IMAX for that.
It was IMAX, yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
And I don't know if it's still... Is it out of theaters now? Like, you can't go see it now?
I don't know. She's got that what's his name? Cut off what's his name's wiener.
Yes, exactly. Ramsey Bolton. Yeah,
he's a
Ramsey's Bolton.
Ramsey's Bolton.
Ramsey's Magnum Bolton.
Ramsey's Bolton. All right. Well, there you go.
A
fine recommendation, but yes. We are being inundated with especially Marvel stuff right now. Lots of it.
That's right. And apparently it is still, you can go see it still in theaters. I'm looking at it right now at the AMC Westminster Promenade, and there are seats still available. Amazingly enough, you can still get seats for this.
Very nice.
Let's see. 3 out of 5 stars with 321 fan ratings. So not horrible, but not great.
Not great. Not blowing anyone away. That's not really your best foot forward if you're doing a special IMAX preview of your TV show.
No, definitely not.
Here is my recommendal. It is a short little bit of the trailer for the film I watched, and I still think about this movie every day since I saw it, so here you go.
What went we out into this wilderness to find? Leaving our country, kindred, our father's houses. For what? For the kingdom of God. Let us pray.
All right. Anyone know?
No, but it sounds cool.
That guy,
the kingdom of God.
I will give you a. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you.
He's not Gunner either.
Well, I'll give you a hint about the actor. He's in a million things, but the first thing I ever saw him in is the British Office. He was a sort of regular that would come on once in a while, and was kind of a douchebag in that. But he's a really interesting actor. Kind of hard to forget him. And then most recently. I feel like everybody's been in Game of Thrones now, but he was in Game of Thrones. He was one of the Iron Island people that were trying to help Theon when Theon was trying to take power before he got his wiener cut off. So it was a couple seasons ago. He was one of the Iron Islands guys that was helping him. Anyway, you'd see his face and you go, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
The movie is The Witch. Okay. It's a horror movie, but it's set.
Oh,
yeah,
this is one with the goats, right?
Yeah, yes, there are goats in this thing that are not funny goats at all. These are not yelling
screaming
goats.
Taylor Swift goats.
No, sadly, no. In fact, they're horrible goats. One of them's name is Philip, and he is a real dick. But anyway, it's set in like late 1700s, early 1800s, something like that. These are I don't know the exact year, but it's very pilgrimy, you know, that era. These are like sort of a Puritan family. They have, you get the backstory kind of just through other discussions, so you don't actually see it, but they, you know, have come to America, early colonization stuff, and there's some kind of horrible witch something in the woods, and you're never quite sure what's going on with the witches or why that's there.
Witch.
But
this
it is.
This looked to me, it is, when I saw the trailer, it looked very M. Night Shyamalan-y.
A little, but there's none of that twist, oh, this was modern day the whole time stuff. Like, none of that. It's like, okay. It is straight up set in this, like, 1700s.
Way to spoil that other M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, good point.
The one wearing in an elevator.
Yeah, I inadvertently screwed that up. But anyway, so it's like this, the setting is very different for a movie that's, you know, really just a scary horror movie. And it manages to be two things at once, a really interesting period piece. And they call each other thee and thy a lot. Like the dad will say, what is it thee asks of me? I'm not able to give thy hope, thy thee, the, you know, it's very biblical. And it works. It totally works. Somehow it totally works. I can't even explain why, but it totally works. And then the actual scary stuff is freaking scary, like really scary, like.
Yeah,
All I can think about is how Veronica would hate this movie so bad because she hates horror movies so bad. And it's really freaky, scary. You can't get it out of your head. Stephen King said it's the scariest movie he's ever seen, which says something probably, since Stephen King is a weird dude. So anyway, I recommend it. I saw it on HBO Go or Now. What is it? Now? Now.
Or Go.
If yeah. You go.
Yeah, it might
go now.
It might also. It could also be
HBO.
On some other.
Now go.
It could be on some other services. I don't know. I didn't check, but I watched it on there and I really liked it. But also, it sticks with you. If you don't like horror movies, maybe avoid it because genuinely creepy.
Yeah,
it's not pretending to be. You're not supposed to watch this and go, "Oh, it's like real life, except back in a different time." It isn't like it. It feels like a very different world. Because it was a totally different world then, and people, you know, they're very religious, these people, but they think the daughter might be the witch, but she really isn't the witch, but is she the witch? And the actors are all really good, and the guy that plays the dad, whose voice you heard in that clip, is so cool. Anyway, I loved it. It's The Witch. It's the best horror movie I've seen in years, and I really liked it. So, there you go. Go watch it. And there's nothing in it, like, I would say, I mean, it's disturbing. But this is not like your typical hacker
gory.
Slasher gory. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like
see,
that.
That's the kind of scary movie I like.
Which kind?
Like the psychological ones.
Oh, you'll like this one.
Not the gory ones.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The genre changed a lot and it's kind of trying to go back to, I don't know. Because for a while there it was, you know, thanks to Saw, it was all that gore.
Torture porn.
Torture, yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm not. Because I was a, like, when Children of the Corn, I mean, these are all kind of, like, psychological, freaky kind of movies back in the 80s.
Which I find much more disturbing and freaky. Like,
yeah, me too.
That stuff, and this movie is all about that. Like, that is up and down what this movie is. And the fact that it's set in this weird time with these weird actresses. Oh, and that, and though it's funny, another Game of Thrones connection, the mother of this family is the queen of the Eyrie that got pushed through the hole, Brian. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Lisa Aaron.
Yeah. She the one that was breastfeeding her kid when he was way too old.
Moondor, mommy. Push him through the moon door, and then I want some booby.
That's her, and she's crazy, and she's interesting to watch. So anyway, fascinating movie. People should see it. Nicole, what do you got for us?
Ladies. All right. Brian, I just want to say Twin Peaks was a blast watching it with you.
It was a blast, and I told the story of you losing your crap. yeah, that was the best. But Jeannie in the chat room watched the entire 18 hours again afterwards and says that once you know kind of where things are going, you pick up a lot more of the stuff along the way.
So I need to watch it again.
Do it again.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again because and I sent you a link. So there's a guy on YouTube that does really good kind of theory videos, and what's the guy's name again? I just sent it to you, and I'm blanking on it.
I can pull it up.
Twin Peaks Larry
tips.
No, his name is
Pete Peppers.
Pete Peppers
with his Twin Peaks moment tips. Okay, great.
Yeah, so he does Game of Thrones and Twin Peaks. I've just been following for the Twin Peaks stuff because he has a lot of good insight, and he does like his top five things and kind of breaks it down that way. So a lot of what I was talking to you about, that was the coolest thing, and watching the show, we were able to talk about certain things. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. So
it's funny because we happily broke one of my rules for watching something like that, which is no talking. I don't want to, you know, I just want to absorb it. But we were, you know, the whole time we're like, oh, that's the same room as the dudes, the black suited dudes were climbing down the stairs on. And
that's so much fun. If you're with somebody you like and you like both have a shared passion for a thing, that's the best thing ever, man.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and there's lulls. David Lynch gives you, it's almost like he gave us points where we could talk about it.
Jeez. Yes, exactly. There's so many questions I still have.
Yeah. Holy crap. How long am I going to be in this damn car?
Right. Yeah, but it still isn't the exact amount of time it takes to get from Odessa to Washington.
Yeah, it's a little longer.
That was a blast. Thank you very much.
It was so much fun.
And thank you for all the souvenirs.
Oh yes, you're very welcome.
I took a lot of stuff when she left the room.
You always do. It just fills his pockets. Yeah, that's Brian for you. If you're missing any DVDs or anything, just I know where they
went. That's right. Yeah.
All right, so here's my clip, and it kind of it's funny that I picked it because it falls in line with what we were just talking about. So here you go.
This is a relic. Some magic is too powerful to sustain, so we imbue objects with it, allowing them to take the strain we cannot. This is the staff of the Living Tribunal. There are many relics. The wand of a tomb. The vaulting boots of Valtor.
Really just roll off the tongue, don't they? When do I get my relic?
When you're ready.
I think I'm ready.
You're ready when the relic decides you're ready. For now.
There you go.
Is that wait, that's Bumber Snap Flippy Batch.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, it's I happened to kind of mention that a little bit ago.
Oh, so it is Doctor Strange then, isn't it?
It is Doctor Strange.
It is Doctor Strange. It's streaming on Netflix and has been for a while now, and I finally got a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
This is an example of a movie that, because I didn't watch it when it first came out, I had a lot of hype built up around it. And I was a little disappointed with, it was still a fun movie, but I know people loved it, but I was like, that was it?
Can I ask you that? This is $1 million question. Cause I've gone on record and been chastised to no end about how I felt about the end of the movie. So I want to know if you feel the same. So the end of the movie where there's the rinse and repeat scene. Well, whatever. This is an old movie.
I've come to negotiate or come to bargain.
Yeah. I found that all just a little too goofy. for me.
Yeah, it got goofy.
Yeah.
Really? Because it was like, it did get goofy.
Yeah. I mean, and
so,
some people...
So Steve Ditko, though. I mean, it felt so true to the...
Yeah.
I was going to say, Doctor Strange, he... Well, this is what's weird. He, when he was the doctor, he was very serious, and very put together, mm-hmm. and right. very, like, not funny at all. Mm-hmm. He was a butthead.
Mm-hmm. that was the point.
Then, yeah.
Then he gets goofy. Like, why did he get goofy? Mm. Well, you know what I mean?
So much goofy. He just got. He realized he was an overly serious a-hole.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like that you got confirmation by that ding noise. That
I know happened. That was great. I was like, all right, I'm on the right track.
Overly confident a-hole. Congratulations. He was a nice guy. Incorrect.
My fries are done. Oh, yeah. No.
That was Mark sending me a text going, are we going to lunch? Are we going to lunch?
Yeah, look, hunger wanes for no man. I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think I'm right. It's funny because I think I'm right where Nicole is. I had a good time. I enjoyed it. I saw it in theaters, but I thought it was good. It was good.
Yeah. It was fine.
I didn't come away going, oh my gosh, best Marvel.
It was fine.
Sure. It's not the best Marvel movie I've ever seen, but I liked it.
It's a good one to watch on Netflix. I'm glad it's on Netflix. Sure. So if you didn't see it in the theater, check it out on Netflix.
What'd you think of all the trippy, like Inception-y kind of building, moving stuff? That stuff was cool.
I did think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And I hear that looked really good in 3D, but I didn't see it in 3D.
There were times where I was like, oh, too much. My brain.
It was that time where you realize Mads Mikkelsen is going to be in all the movies from now on. Like,
right,
his job is now, I'm a guy in all of the movies. Every time you have a movie, I will be in one. Because that's the kind of popularity I'm having right now. And I thought he was a pretty good villain. But yeah, on the whole, it was a good time, you know?
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah, it was. Let me just say this. The next night, we decided to watch Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
which
no.
I'm a huge Assassin's Creed game fan.
Yeah, sure. Me too.
I when that came out, I just kind of put my blinders on and I didn't hear anything really. And then I watched it and I was like, what the hell is that turd?
Yeah, it's bad. It's a
stinker. It was
bad. And it's too bad because Fassbender, I love Fassbender. I haven't seen it, so I'm totally speaking from just what I heard, but it just seems like taking such a great resource like Michael Fassbender and wasting an opportunity.
Well, the characters are just hollow. And I mean, I did like how they changed up the animus. Mm-hmm. Like, cause that would be boring as hell because in the game, you're just laying there.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah. You're just laying there.
And this one, you're like part of the big apparatus was pretty neat in the way it jerked them around and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll give you that.
So I thought that was a kind of a cool, concept that they built upon and made it a little bit more interesting to watch than just a guy sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Right.
It's unfortunate. I feel like they could have made a movie about the Ezio period and just made a great movie.
Yes.
Like,
oh yeah. Right. Right.
I think so too.
I don't know why they didn't do that. And not that I don't mind like the Spanish Revolution or whatever it was, or Inquisition as your backdrop. That's cool too. But just tell me an Assassin's Creed story. And in truth, the series has been at its best when it mostly ignores the animus. Like, mm-hmm. It's never been great at crossing those two lines. And I understand the desire to do it, but they kind of gave up on that in the game. So I don't know why they had to force it down our throats in the movie. Cause even the newer games are like Black Flag didn't even touch the animus really. And, the newer one that I really liked, the last one called, what was that called? Syndicate. It was set in like,
Smoky
England gang, thing.
And isn't the new one being
the new one's
Egypt?
Origins is in Egypt, and it looks really great. So, you know, I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't good. It's a bad movie.
No. I was hoping, but my point is it made Doctor Strange look a lot better.
Yeah. I bet Doctor Strange looked amazing after that.
Yes.
All movies look better now.
Right, yeah.
Well, all right. These are some fine recommendations. Go check them out, everybody, on whatever your streaming platform of choice is. I would make one quick note. We watched a couple of Star Trek movies over the weekend. For whatever reason, Hulu has like all the Star Trek stuff right now. So if you want to see the movies, and I think even the TV shows are there. I'm not sure about that because I didn't watch them there. But We watched First Contact as well as the latest Beyond movie with the new cast stuff, and it was great. We had a great time. So I don't know what's going on at Hulu, but cranking it up a notch. They've got a new live service coming soon, which I want to check out. So anyway, there, maybe it's out now. Anyway, there it is. Nicole Spag, everybody. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Follow her there, and she will retweet the things we talked about today.
Yep, if you missed it.
Nicole, have a fantastic day.
See you.
We'll see you later. All right. Brian?
Aww.
I've really enjoyed our time together today, but...
I have too.
We have to end it.
Does it have to end?
It does.
Does it have to end,
Scott? It does, but I can't go on until I know what's happening with Coverville. Could you explain?
Well, yeah, we're going to be paying tribute to a guitarist that we lost over the weekend, Walter Becker, one half of the core of the band Steely Dan. Lost him over the weekend, and of course, being one of my favorite bands, I like Steely Dan. I'm not ashamed to admit it, because some people it's like, oh yeah, there's nothing cool about Steely Dan. No, I totally dig Steely Dan.
I like him too.
And
nothing wrong with him.
So a tribute to Walter Becker and Steely Dan on the show today.
Do you think? Can I ask you this question? Do you think that Steely Dan or Walter, is it Walter Becker? Is that his name?
Walter Becker.
Mm-hmm. Do you think on his deathbed he said, "Before I go, just so you know, the name really is about a sex toy."
Oh, it was never in question. It was always about a steam-powered dildo from The Naked Lunch. There was never, you know, what we're waiting for is either Godly or Cream on their deathbed to say, you know, what the real meaning of 10cc was.
Yeah, you got to, when Pearl Jam wants an Eddie Vedder dies.
Right,
exactly. I'll tell you what it is. Come closer
to
me.
Oh, it was about my grandmother who made jam and my name was Pearl. All of a sudden, I'm a country singer.
Dear misspoken. All right. Good times. Yeah. So we're done. We're out. Patreon.com/TMS is the support valve for helping us here on the show. Please use it and help us get to our next goals. You can find all those details at patreon.com/TMS. Frognast.com/TMS is our website for all other things. We will now leave you with a song request of some sort, please.
We will. This one goes out to Rob, a.k.a. Blam Rob, on Twitter. Good morning, Alderman. Talk me down here, guys. This September 1st, I'm turning 40. It's not like I'm running out to get a sports car or anything, but I'm not ready for this. Scott, play that one clip.
Which one? I'm not ready for
this? I don't
know.
He just says, Scott, play that one clip. Then he says, no, not that one. Then he says, close enough. Right, so just play something.
All right.
You ready for this?
Close
enough.
That's all I got. I don't know what. Wait. Here's one.
Ready for the pot.
I'm ready for the pot. All right.
There it is. Perfect. Yep. He says, thanks for all that you guys do. One might perceive value for others in it. I like that. That's great. I can definitely see why you love the show, though.
Pretty good.
Rob. All right. Cool. He wanted to hear this one right here. I had to make an edited version of this song because the original version is like 6 minutes long, or the original version of this cover is 6 minutes long. So I did a little trim. This is a band called Pop Will Eat Itself. You might remember them from of their other iterations, like, well, not really other iterations, other bands that the members of Pop Will Eat Itself came from, like Bauhaus and Love and Rockets and Tones on Tail.
Sure.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Daniel J or David J I'm all over the wrong.
Yeah, all over the wrong today.
Pop Will Eat Itself, completely different band. they had the song that referenced a lot of really cool and nerdy things like Alan Moore and that song, Can You Dig It, references the the gang movie that we watch for FilmSack. Whatever. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. Totally done. Let's play the song. Here's Pop Will Eat Itself. From the compilation tribute album Piece Together from 93, here's their cover of Peter Gabriel's Games Without Frontiers.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you guys tomorrow on a whole new Thursday edition of TMS. See you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'm not much of a streak kind of person. Like, I don't believe in the streak